Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 100, finishing at 25,286. S&P 500 Index down 4 at 2,722. NASDAQ Composite up just a fraction of a point at 7,200. Russell 2000 Small and Mid-Caps down 3 at 1,514. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 4 basis points at 3.14%. Oil down $4.65 at $55.28 per barrel. And gold up $2 at $1,202.90 per ounce. Stocks started the morning in positive territory. However, there was no rally that followed. The major indices were just slightly higher, not enough to trigger computerized trading programs to buy. And after a couple of hours of drifting aimlessly, stocks dropped. Energy stocks weighed heaviest on the S&P 500 as crude oil fell for a record 12th consecutive session, pushing prices down to a one-year low. WTI, West Texas Intermediate, dropped more than 7%, its biggest one-day decline in about 3 years. Oil prices have plunged more than $20 a barrel just since the start of October. Crude futures rose to four-year highs on October 3rd as the market braced for renewed U.S. sanctions on Iran, OPEC's third biggest producer. Through September, the threat of sanctions wiped out about 800,000 barrels a day off the market, fueling speculation that some oil importers might struggle to find supplies. Well, 1 week after crude futures struck their highs, two-thirds of the stocks in the S&P 500 plunged into correction territory. That kicked off a broad market rout that saw investors shedding risk assets, and that included crude futures. Oil and stocks don't always move in tandem, but the assets were closely correlated during last month's sell-off. General Electric today up 7.7% after unveiling plans to raise about $4 billion by accelerating a sale of its stake in oil field services provider Baker Hughes. Home builder Beazer Homes up 30% after its quarterly revenues topped estimates, and the company also announced a $50 million buyback scheme. Home Depot posting better-than-expected same-store sales but suggested U.S. home sales were slowing down, and impending tariffs could lead to price hikes for its products. Shares of Tyson Foods down 5.5%. That was the biggest percentage loser on the S&P 500. The top meat processor's sales missed Wall Street estimates due to lower demand for chicken. Johnson Controls selling its power solutions business, which makes car batteries, selling to investment firm Brookfield Business Partners, a cash deal valued at $13.2 billion. The head of Alphabet's Waymo unit said it plans to launch its first commercial self-driving car service within the next 2 months. The service will initially be available to a small group of riders in the Phoenix area, but it's expected to expand to more people in coming months. Amazon has finally announced where its new headquarters will be located. The second headquarters will be split between the Long Island City neighborhood of Queens, New York, and the newly formed National Landing Area of Arlington, Virginia. Amazon also announcing that a few thousand jobs would be going to Nashville, Tennessee. UK Prime Minister Theresa May will put a draft Brexit deal to her cabinet tomorrow after UK and EU negotiating teams made a crucial breakthrough in talks. An agreement on preventing a hard Irish border was reached after 2 days of intensive talks. UK and EU negotiators agreed there would be a UK-wide backstop if they fail to negotiate a trade deal that negates the need for border checks on the island of Ireland before the end of the two-year Brexit transition period. Brexiteers are concerned that this arrangement will leave the UK trapped in a customs union with the EU for years to come, unable to sign new free trade deals. Deputy National Security Advisor Myra Ricardel, a top staffer to National Security Advisor John Bolton, has been fired following a dispute with First Lady Melania Trump. Earlier, the First Lady's office issued an unusual public statement saying Ricardel no longer deserves the honor of serving in this White House. According to reports, she repeatedly clashed with Defense Secretary Jim Mattis as well. Meanwhile, Chief of Staff John Kelly may soon be out of his job as a result of a conflict with First Lady Melania Trump and other people in the White House. Trump is reportedly about to fire Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, giving the Department of Homeland Security its fourth boss in less than 2 years. The standard line from White House reporting is that Trump is mad that Nielsen is not tough enough on immigration enforcement. This assessment doesn't appear to be a reflection of her actual policy record at DHS. Nielsen spent most of her tenure executing an ongoing crackdown at the U.S.-Mexico border. Under her watch, thousands of National Guard units and active duty military have been deployed to the border, many for no obvious purpose. Nielsen's DHS has made it near impossible for people to seek asylum. Under a proclamation signed by Trump on Friday, people who enter the U.S. between official border crossings or points of entry are categorically ineligible for asylum. Asylum seekers who do try to come to ports of entry, meanwhile, are forced to wait for weeks or they're simply turned away under a department policy of metering. Most famously, Nielsen signed off on the zero-tolerance prosecution policy that resulted in late spring and early summer in the separation of thousands of families at the U.S.-Mexico border without any apparent plans to reunite them. Earlier in the week, Trump was telling people he wants to replace Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross by the end of this year. Trump has often expressed displeasure about cabinet members, but stopped short of making an actual personnel move. Yet those developments come 2 days after Trump forced out Attorney General Jeff Sessions. A federal judge has blocked the Georgia Secretary of State from certifying election results before Friday, as the state governor's race remains unsettled. The judge ruled that state and local officials must conduct a good faith review of all provisional ballots that have been rejected because a voter's name wasn't found on the voter registration list. This includes using all available registration documentation from voters to verify their identity instead of solely relying on the voter registration list. Secretary of State's offices reported more than 21,000 provisional ballots were cast. The court also ordered the state to establish a hotline for voters to determine whether their provisional ballots were counted, and if not, reason why. Republican Martha McSally has lost the Arizona Senate race to Democrat Kyrsten Sinema, who will be the first female senator from Arizona. And Martha McSally could become the second female senator from Arizona. It's conceivable that both McSally and Sinema could represent Arizona in the upper chamber in 2019. It's a scenario made possible by current Arizona Senator John Kyle, the former senator who was appointed earlier this summer to fulfill a portion of late Senator John McCain's last term. While the next election for this seat won't be held until 2020, Kyle has said that he only intends to serve until January 2019, at which point Arizona Governor Doug Ducey will have to appoint someone new to tide the state over until the following year. State law requires that Ducey appoint someone of the same party as McCain and Kyle, which means he'll have to pick a Republican. McSally could very well be in the running. While McSally replacing Kyle seems like a good bet, It's far from a done deal. There are several possible reasons Ducey could go with someone other than McSally, ranging from stigma over appointing a recent electoral loser to a key seat to questions over whom the broader Arizona Republican Party would like to potentially support. Arizona hasn't sent a Democratic senator to Washington in more than 30 years. The Metro Phoenix and Tucson areas were strongly in favor of Sinema, with rural areas favoring McSally. Democratic special education teacher and political novice Kathy Hoffman has won the race for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. Hoffman declared the winner last night as her lead over Frank Riggs grew insurmountable during the lengthy vote count. And Democrat Katie Hobbs has retaken the lead in the horse race to be Arizona's next Secretary of State. Hobbs passed Republican Steve Gaynor by about 5,600 votes last night after more ballots were tallied. The two have traded places several times in recent days. If Hobbs succeeds in flipping the seat, it would be a major victory for Democrats. The party hasn't held Arizona's number two executive office since 1995. Gaynor established a lead election night, but Hobbs steadily closed the gap as more votes came in from the state's urban areas. Secretary of State's primary duty is managing the election system, which has faced a string of problems in recent years. Also, the Secretary of State in Arizona is the number two statewide elected officials, next in line to succeed the governor if he or she leaves office early, and that has happened four times since the late 1970s. In and around the town of Paradise, California, which has been largely destroyed by the campfire raging since Thursday in Butte County, Northern California, authorities found the remains of 13 of the fire's victims. The discovery brought the death toll to 44, made the campfire the deadliest wildfire in California's history. Number of fatalities could continue to grow as more than 200 people are still missing. The campfire, considered the most destructive in state history, it has destroyed 7,100 homes and other structures, still only 30% contained. To the south, another fire, the Woolsey Fire, has burned at least 435 structures. Two people have died in that fire. The Woolsey Fire has also burned homes in the Thousand Oaks area, still reeling from a mass shooting last Wednesday. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 100 to finish at 25,286. S&P 500 down 4 at 2,722. NASDAQ up just a fraction at 7,200. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.